Boah, das ist ein Einsatz, ne? So Gott, Junge, eine Wumse. Also, Teamwork. Do you guys have an album coming out?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, well, it's got a new album coming out. Playing a few songs tonight off the new album. Yeah, that'll be coming out March 28th. Dropping the album, we absolutely cannot wait for people to hear it. I reckon it's gonna be cracking.
Awesome. I guess it's quite different from your last album and the situation that you guys did your last album at home, didn't you?
Yeah, well, a good portion at least of Tangaroa was recorded during COVID, during lockdowns, and a lot of the vocals, in fact all of the vocals, were done at home, actually our dad's recording studio, so there was a bit of like weirdness happening there. But with this new album, of course, it's Tudunga's first time actually writing with the band as well. So I don't know, Tu, do you want to talk about
your approach? This was like I jumped in, of course, at the end of the second album, and so this one I was able to be a part of the process like from the get-go, and so, you know, that introduced like a new element, I suppose, going forward for like the Alien Weaponry sound, and we were like a little curious how people would respond to it, like, you know, they're gonna be like, oh my god, this new bass plays everything. What happened to the Alien Weaponry that I love? But so far, you know, the response has been great. And then the other big difference was, instead of recording it here in New Zealand or at home, you know, like where the boys' home is, we did it in LA with veteran heavy metal producer Josh Wilber, you know.
So
one of those steps you take as a band, you know, to try and evolve.
What
evolve
are we calling him? Josh the Wizard Wilbur?
Yeah, Josh the Wizard Wilbur. He is crazy at his job, you know. We knew it, but like when you get in the room with him and you see like all the expertise he has, you're like, oh dude, this dude's crazy. Like, he took songs that we already thought were pretty good and he made them like great, you know. It was like super sick.
I feel like I'm part of the band for quite a few years now, but this was, I guess, the first time doing like the writing and recording side of it as opposed to just the touring side. So did that create some kind of unexpected dynamics between the three of you?
I don't know. I mean, the main thing that like changed was like how we approached the writing, because like, you know, the boys used to like sit in a jam at the band room and like jam with something like that, you know, and like just, and then go and try and collate it all and be like, oh yeah, I like this riff, and blah 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 blah, and then I was like, nah bro. I was like, that ain't working for me. So, and we'd all just been hooked up around that time with Persona Studio One Door software. And so, and then all the like, what do you call it? The Neural DSP plugins for like guitars and drums. Oh, the drums is not Neural, it's Contact
Next Wave ones.
So we were like, oh, how about actually we like can do everything at home and like see it on a computer. And like we did a bulk of it at Henry's house, like off his laptop, you know, which I think created a much more efficient workflow. So when we hit the studio, we had a massive excess of demos that, you know, we had like 30 songs or something that became the final 10 and a half. It's like 11 tracks on there, which was cool, you know. And so it meant that we were happy with everything that went on.
Yeah, got stuff for the fourth one, yeah.
And that, you know, there's lots of stuff that we were like, you know, maybe we were like, this song's not quite there yet, but if we put it to the side, some good riffs, and we can maybe bring it back for the next album, you know.
Yeah.
Listening to the demos like early years ago now, it was well over a year ago that this had happened, and The funny part is it had happened before we knew we were working with Josh Wilbur, and of course Josh Wilbur most famously has produced like the majority of Lamb of God's albums, you know, so they're long time friends and they have a long running relationship. So a lot of people in the interviews like assume that Josh got Randy on the track, but no, we had locked Randy in like a year minimum. I think it was longer before we even knew we were working with Josh, because Randy had followed us all on socials because he was in the documentary.
Yeah,
he's featured quite heavily in the documentary, and he'd sent me a message about some book that I'd recommended on my socials, and he was like, "Hey man, by the way, I just finished this interview with the guy for a movie about you guys, and I bought this book that you recommended, and it's a great book. Nice to meet you," kind of thing, like on Instagram. And I was like, "Oh, what's up?" You know. So he kind of broke the ice. So then a couple months later, I'm sitting in my car listening to the demos, and I'm like, "Ah, this song needs something. You know, what is it? Is it another guest vocal? What is it?" And then I kind of went, "Dude, why don't I ask Randy?"
Was there anything about the song that made you think it was Randy?
It's because initially I'd run through the gauntlet of like, who had we been on tour with over the past few years that might be keen to jump on the track, you know? And not that we toured with the Lamb of God, but we toured with Employed to Serve, so my first thought was like Justine. And then we'd also toured with Knock Loose, so then I thought like Brian. Yeah. But their vocals are all very high scream vocals, you know? And I was like, in my head, it needed to be something really low and really like aggressive. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, oh, dude, that's Randy. So,
well, and he popped on like one show.
That's right. And so I was like, I'll just do it. But then I didn't tell them. I was like, because if I ask him and he says no, it's going to be a lot of disappointment.
The thing is, too, you probably knew that, like, I'm such a big fan, I would never fucking ask them anything remote. You know, I'm way too much of, like, a super fan. The way it happened, you know, and it's mind-blowing to me, because that's a band that shaped me, you know, growing up. Shaped me and helped me a lot through a lot of shit in my life.
So arrogant beneath the shadow of the long white cloud, rising from the riverbed, it moves without a sound. Now you die beneath the shadow of the long white cloud.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the year?
I mean, other than the album dropping, got some stuff in the pipeline. There's some stuff that we've just confirmed for the end of this year, start of next year. But obviously, once we drop the album, there's probably going to be some touring outside of New Zealand. Yeah, people want to stay in the loop with it, following the socials, and yeah, all our dates always get thrown on the website as well. So
you guys haven't toured Australia in years, have you?
Yeah, well, probably longer than Aotearoa, actually. I think the last time we were over in Australia was like 2019.
Really? Yeah. Except for Froth and Fury.
We did a one-off show in Australia and Adelaide, of all places.
Right.
It should be fun to get back there as well. That's possibly actually one of the only places where we feel a little bit at home. Especially in Melbourne, you get a lot of Māori people, a lot of Kiwis on the show. In fact, I think last time we were in Melbourne, we got a haka after the show, so that was
wicked. Thanks so much, guys.
It's always good to see you.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the show. Yeah, we'll get and check out next time.
You're listening to BFM Radio.
We're going to cut that news there.